in comment sections.
Blog Talk Radio.
I can't say I disagree with him. Can't say I disagree with him. Rappers need more creativity, need to stop clout chasing, need to stop doing podcasts, get back to doing music, because now you're not even a priority no more. And he would know. He would know as a former program director for Hot 97, and he's on the end. He's on the inside. So when he say, I got a call saying, what's up, everybody? This is Doggy Diamonds for Doggy Diamonds TV.
We're gonna leave it right there, but let's get to it, right? Let's get to it. So he got a call looking for African and Latin music only. Niggas only looking for clout chasing. They clout chasing. They looking for comments. They looking for this TikTok and Instagram success and all that, and not even paying homage. I mean, I do agree with him saying that. I do agree with him, like, far as the rappers is concerned, not, you know, paying homage. I'm gonna play this again. Let me play this again because I have a point with this too. One more time.
You rap and you post all the time, and then hip hop's birthday came around and you can't even say thank you. I saw you. Just know I saw you. And there's gonna come a day, all these rappers, there will come a day when your ass will be on the internet complaining about not getting your flowers. But you don't give your flowers or no acknowledgement to hip hop or anyone else.
Is there someone specific you're talking about?
Nah, it's mad people.
Oh, okay.
It's mad people. And I'm not talking about people who ain't even on social. Like, there's some rappers just don't even post.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Talking about the guys that are.
But there's people constantly posting.
And not saying nothing.
Yeah. Like, this ain't an RIP trending thing.
Bruh, all you needed, you could have just posted, type on the little note thing in your
phone.
Happy
birthday, hip hop. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Like, you ain't got to post a whole 10 photos and a whole long thing. Just say thank you.
Now, I'm gonna agree with him on that, because a lot of these rappers, especially some new ones, but if any of y'all that's following all the young rappers and all that, this, that, and the third, when the 50th birthday of hip-hop, which was August 11th, did any of them even mention happy birthday hip-hop? No. If it wasn't for people like Grandmaster Caz, if it wasn't for people like DJ Hollywood, salute to Snoop for bringing out DJ Hollywood, the first fucking, you could consider him as a rapper, because he had all the sayings and shit like that. I can't play it, but look up Snoop for the 50th birthday of hip hop, bringing out DJ Hollywood. That's the nigga. So all these motherfuckers that's getting paid now is off the backs of the people that got jerked, they got beat, that didn't get credit. Y'all standing on the shoulders of them. Your influence is people that came before you. And I'm talking about this new generation, like Pac, maybe Gucci Mane, Jeezy, Lil Wayne, and who all the names, UGK or whoever, Outkast, whoever it is, Eazy-E, whoever it is, they stand on the shoulders of the motherfuckers who came before. Y'all would not be eaten because of the Eazy-E's. And shit like that. But it goes way beyond them. Eazy-E wouldn't be eaten if it wasn't for motherfuckers like LL Cool J, Cool G motherfucking Rap, Big Daddy Kane, The God, Rakim, the 18th letter, Grandmaster Caz, Melly Mel. We need to talk about Melly Mel too, with that diss with Eminem. All of that. I don't want to say fucking Rapper's Delight, but they helped. They was more pop. But they did kick the door open for Grandmaster Caz, Cold Crush, and all that shit, and other people. Sha-Rock, you know what I'm saying? Run DMC. So many people. So many. There's so many. The Funky Fresh Plus 4. So many that came way before. And y'all niggas don't even want to give credit and show love to hip-hop. But that's how you're eating. So it's like, fuck them old niggas. Fuck, like, how? That's like, fuck your grandmother for birthing your mother and your mother birthing you. That's pretty much it, because hip-hop birthed all of us. Pretty much. It birthed all of us. So how can you motherfuckers go against the grain? Yes, Disco King Mario, Cool DJ D, his brother that passed away, God bless his soul. Coke LaRock, the real first rapper that put DJ Kool Herc under his motherfucking wing. Because DJ Kool Herc was dressing like a fucking cowboy. Didn't know anything about American culture. Looking at the spades, looking at DJ Kool D. D Kool J D that fucking gave DJ Kool Herc his updated modern mixer and DJ equipment and speakers and all that shit. He influenced motherfucking African Bambaataa, DJ Kool D. This is before these niggas done took credit for the FBA creation. Plain and simple. But I'm not digging in that bag right now. I'm not going to dig in that bag. We all know that Black Americans, this is our culture, period. Hip hop is Black American culture. I don't give a fuck what you're talking about. The evidence is there. But Latin and Jamaicans definitely contributed greatly to our culture, and more of Jamaicans contributed more, but the Latinos was there with the breakdancing, the this, that, and the third, the b-boy shit and all that. Come on, you already know the Fat Boys and all that, but let me stop looking at the chat. But here's the thing, right? Let me read. I'm not going to share the screen, but I'm going to read exactly what Joe Button said about what Ebro said. He said, it's very short. He said, funny, I said the same thing about record labels. So now, this dude is talking about how rappers should have had paid homage to this senator, which is true. But you have to understand about Ebro. He was a program director. I said this a little earlier. But he was a program director. Me personally, I feel that he was, I'm assuming, let me make that clear, I'm assuming, but he was the one that made sure what get played on Hot 97. If this shit wasn't being played on Hot 97, it was not popping in L.A., it would not be popping down south. And this is at the nucleus of the ruling of that. You have to make it in New York to make that fucking, to make this shit pop. Point blank, period. I think he was behind the shift of not promoting New York rappers. And I'm going to stand on that. A lot of rappers said that. 50 Cent, a lot of them said that shit. And I stand on it. Yes, he's part black and half small hat. If you understand what small hat means, then okay. You don't have to put it in the chat. And God damn it, those are bars. He was a part of that. But let's flip the coin. Making all this money and jerking them out of perpetuity, meaning forever, funds for their intellectual property. Why you blaming rappers? Only rappers. You should be looking at the record labels. This dude was the program director. He had to step down to help out Hot 97. That's why you see him on the morning show and copying off of motherfucking The Breakfast Club. Him, Laura Styles, and goddamn, what's this fucking name? What's the other small hat name? Rosenberg. He had to step down to help Hot 97. Do what it do, like what it's doing today. You understand what I'm saying? The record labels, this is how I see it's coming from a one-dimensional place. He can't go against his higher powers. He can't go against his fucking boss, so he want to blame it on the rappers. Labels have been jerking artists for decades. Labels will allegedly kill you for your masters. You know he's not going to talk about that. You know he's not going to talk about those record execs that is changing the fucking paradigm. The paradigm shift is here. Okay? That's what we have to understand. Okay? Hold on. Shit. I left my water. I ain't got my fucking water. But at the end of the day, right, you see that they only want African and Latin music. I'm going to ask that question again. And the phone lines is open. If anybody want to call, please call in. It's 319-527-6747. So my question is, since they are not signing fucking rappers anymore, right? And they only looking for African music, African artists and Latin music, right? Is that going to be worse for rappers? Or is it going to change the negativity that we get from it? The shit that we've been wanting. We need to put more of this and this in our music. I say this. I'm going to be honest. I think this is a fucking tactic. I think it's a tactic. Another tactic to undermine the black agenda. I'm not even going to hold you on that. I think it's because they have to use every leverage possible, every aspect on every level to make sure that we, black American people, be submerged in the water of other cultures. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me look in the chat, man. Do y'all understand what the fuck I'm talking about, or you don't? Slauson, hold on. Slauson girl, what's up, cutie pie? Let me take the cutie pie back. You're a cutie pie. But get your ass on. Yo, Slauson girl, you got to get the fuck out of here. If you ain't going to call in, man, get out of here. Now, I'm only playing, but come on. Slauson girl, get your ass on the fucking panel. Stop playing, love. I want to hear your point of view because you already understand what's going on. Because look at the fucking shit that's going on in L.A. Matter of fact, let me play it. Check it out. I literally forgot to ask Reggie Wright when I interviewed him earlier today. I forgot to play this for him. I'm going to play this for you, Slauson girl. Do I have it? Is it gone? The fuck? Did they take it off? Oh, wait. Am I tripping? Oh, right here. This is for you, Slauson girl.
Oh, well, one last thing before we get off this topic. L.A. radio station. What the fuck is going on? We're in the U.S. I know Mexico right there. We speak English. Hip-hop was started by niggas. Get some niggas back on the radio. All this Caliente and all that. Hey, look, shout out to my essays. Look, shout out all the Mexican rappers and all that. Doing your thing. But this is hip-hop. We don't want to hear salsa and all this other shit, man. And put some hometown niggas on the radio. There's no L.A. artists on L.A. radio.
It's about the bag now. That shit over.
Man, fuck all that. Yeah. Play our up-and-coming niggas. When you go to New York, K-State used to drop bombs on the up-and-coming niggas. DJ, Funk Flex used to drop bombs on the up-and-coming New York niggas. They'll play niggas that's not even mainstream on their shit. And they playing their shit. When you go down south, they playing all their shit. You come to the west, it's Caliente. Mm. What the fuck is going on? It's a rap station, man. Stop playing.
Well, you gotta also take heed to who's over it, who's running it. Mm. And that's what it is.
That's right? All I'm saying.
And they're catering to that. All respect, but just make it sense. That's what it is.
It's not catering no more. You're not putting it's more so.
No, I'm saying.
If I come drop 50,000 on you to play my shit, you're going to be playing shit all day.
It's a money game.
That's kind of what I was going to say, too, though, when you think about you know, the Latin music and shit like that. I feel like they're at a point where they're coming into a time where.
Hold on, I got
to
pee.
Their culture is coming into money in a certain sense, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so how we were the ones that we were targeted with the marketing and consumerism, when you start to look around, even certain movies that have been made just on a whole level, they're starting to market to them now more. So I feel like that's the next culture that the higher-ups, the elite, whatever you want to call it, are marketing to. And that's why they're kind of getting the shine right now,
right?
Because they're trying to put them under that spell as well. Like, you could even look at, like, the Dodger Stadium, just for instance. I go to baseball games. That shit is straight, like, which, I mean, it ain't really our type of sport, but you can see where they're marketing to Hispanic people now on the radio, on TV, movies, shit like that. So you could...
Oh, well, one last thing before we get off this topic. L.A. radio stations. What the fuck is going on?
Tell me.
We're in the U.S. I know Mexico right there. We speak English. Hip-hop was started by niggas.
Yeah, so listen. So I had to say that, but I don't... Hold on. I don't see Slosser, girl. Slosser, what's up, love? Salute to you. I wanted to get your thoughts on this, especially out there, because at the end of the day, this is a prime example of how our culture is being submerged. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, damn. Now, we have to take some accountability as far as the music that we put out, because at the end of the day, hip-hop started from nothing. It started out from abandoned buildings. They taking out music out the schools, meaning playing, using the utensils, the instruments, the musical instruments and things of that nature. So they had to start from ground zero. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like we have to take responsibility, but we speak from our experience. So it's going to be raw and raunchy and straight from the gutter. And this is how you know the record labels are behind it, because you had Self-Destruction, you had X-Clan, you had Poor Righteous Teachers, you had Brand Nubian, you had many others, even Rod speaking truth to power, even Big Daddy Kane in some instances, Public Enemy. And you knew how we was wearing the, I could go personally where I was wearing the motherfucking X hat, the Malcolm X hat. You see people wearing the dashikis, got the medallions on, the African medallions on, got the Nefertiti gold chain and shit like that. So they knew the power of the music. They knew the power of the music. And they knew that the positive, like Black Cherry said, positive rap is not supported. Even back then, that's why they had that secret meeting. The secret meeting to only promote the degradation of the black rise or the black progression, so they know that words is power. You can't tell me not a Tupac song didn't make a motherfucker want to go ride out and hurt somebody, or an Onyx song, or a motherfucking N.W.A. song make you want to go out there and do something. It's the influence of the music, because it taps into your soul and your experience, something that you in common with, something that you can relate to because you're going through it yourself or been through it or a part of that culture. So the record labels made sure that these rappers that want to get put on, they have to talk about this. They only have to talk about the degradation of your people. You understand what I'm saying? So they knew that. So we can't just focusly look at rappers. You have to look at the gatekeepers. You have to look at the execs that sit at the desk with their legs crossed on top of their desk, leaning back in their chair, looking at you, not even from the culture telling you how to be black or what you need to say. And they know damn well that what we put out in the music is not really going to affect their culture. And this is what I say to y'all, that other people who listen to our music that relates to it, there's some that implement it in their persona and act a certain way to be hip and be cool. Yeah, there's some. But a lot of them understand that there is a difference between their world and our world. So it's only selective for them for that moment of time. Yeah, they could go to concerts. Yeah, they could dance to all the hot music that black people do. But they know once they leave that club or turn that music off, they know who they are. They know they're not going to implement that into their everyday life. Like, what's the name? What's her name again? Janice Elliott or whatever? I mean, she's in a fucking school telling all the white kids to raise their hand or stand up if you want to be treated like a black person, and they don't do it because they know they're not stupid. You understand what I'm saying? So I just hope all of us understand that. You understand? Listen. The Afrobeat music is created by, it is the foundation of black American music. And that created that sound. See, but I will say that it could be a good thing that it will literally change the vibe, more on the dancing vibe. But then again, there's no substance, meaning there's no message in the music. There's none of that in the obliteration of black culture. That's exactly what it is. It's the obliteration of black culture. I don't know what this is. Hold on one second. I don't know what that is, but yeah, that's pretty much it right there, man. And that's exactly what the fuck is going on. So our culture is being erased. Our culture is being erased, and that let me take this. I still didn't save it. Give me a second. Let me take this off. Hold on one second, y'all. Hold on. Hold up. And I still didn't save it, but it's all right. Let me go to my messages real quick. What is this? Hold on one second. No, that's what's the name? Hold on. Well, yeah, well, same thing. All right, let me share it. Let me share again. So right here again, it just says warning, you know, a warning for rappers. You know, it should be noted that major labels is deprioritized signing rappers. The focus is now on African music and Latin music. And here's my question about that, too. Why the fuck you not? Listen, the focus is now African music and Latin music. You telling me there's not no good African or regular African-American music that's not boring? Is not talking about the same old shit? Look at African music. They're talking pretty much about the same thing, but it's more about love or a relationship and drinking and shit. You understand what I'm saying? There's no real difference. They're talking about the same thing, but it's just less violent. So you're telling me there's no regular rappers that have the same content? They know there is because they've been stopping them from being major rappers. Because of the direction of the music. They know exactly what they're doing. This is why I feel like this is a tactic to submerge black American culture. And all black American rappers does not just talk about shooting and killing. Some that may do, but I'm pretty sure enough of them know how to talk about. Look at Lil Baby, for instance. You see that song that he talked about with George Floyd and all that shit? You think he can't talk about that more in his raps? Y'all don't think that? Look at J. Cole. You got J. Cole. You got motherfucking Kendrick. You got Simba. There's so many people. So it's like, so if that's what y'all looking for, why you can't just grab the rappers that actually do the things that y'all looking for? But you see, it's all a mind trick. All of this is a fucking mind trick. And I think that we should just understand that is what it is. It is a fucking mind trick. You understand what I'm saying? Let me look at the chat. Substance, absolutely. We need some substance. Nas told us that hip-hop has been dead for 20 years now. Yeah, and Jeezy and people got mad. Jeezy is dope, and I love Jeezy. But all his shit is straight trap music. It's all, you know what I mean? Drugs and all that shit. Ain't nothing wrong. This is why we need to have a balance. There's no balance in music, but they don't want no balance because these record execs can look for what they're looking for. They can get what they're looking for because it's out there. It's that they control the direction of the music. They control the direction and influence of the music. That's it. Pretty much. 50 years was a good run. Yeah, it damn sure was. But hip-hop is pretty much trash right now. It really is. Hip-hop is trash. It's really trash right now. And I wish that, you know, that they can change some things. But what they're trying to do is undermine our influence. He said, rappers better stop being boring and talking about the same shit over and over. Chasing TikTok success and comment sections. Come on, man. He said, hip-hop will never get surpassed in the States. I was just telling somebody yesterday about African music. I don't understand a word they're coming from their mouths. I can deal with Jamaican music, Latin music to keep that shit over there. You understand? Now you see that? Like, come on, man. Listen, if anybody want to call in, man, let me know. Because if not, I'm going to get the fuck out of here. I ain't going to be here too long fucking with y'all. But if you want to tap in, call in. It's 319-527-6747. I would definitely like to hear what y'all have to say on this subject. And let me just play a little clip of my interview with Reggie Wright. Let me share my screen for a second. Let me share some. It was a good interview, man. And it's going to be on Patreon, too. For all the supporters, the real supporters that want to show support, please go to my Patreon. Click on the one that says $10 for all exclusive content. All right? All right.
She had no reason to lie to me. She never told me about people. She never told me she was a virgin before I got with her.
Right.
So that's why that shit's so stupidity to me. But, hey.
Makes sense to me, man. Now, one thing I get from you and Gene Dill, regardless of y'all differences, y'all still have, it seems like y'all still have a mutual respect for one another. What is the... y'all gripe against one another, man? Because y'all still got good, some kind of good respect for one another. So, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, number one, I'm not one to say everything Gene is saying is a lie. I just said his story is limited to what happened that particular night. And I disagree on people that he's adamantly accusing of being involved in the murder. I'm not saying that things didn't happen the way he's saying it. I just don't believe he has the correct players. Is all I believe and I say. Me and Gene have spent hours on the phone communicating and talking to each other about things. We were planning on doing a project together where we were going to interview and do documentaries all Big Time or Bodyguard.
My bad. I didn't even know. I don't know if y'all heard it. Could y'all hear the audio when he was speaking? Press one. If not, it's all good. I'm going to bring it back. My bad. I forgot to share it. My bad on that. Damn. All right. Let's go there.
Why are they after you? Once you got with them and they after you, that's your concerns.
That makes perfect sense. That's a fact. Yeah.
So that's my whole point to that. Is that, okay, if you said she did that, I don't believe it. She had no reason to lie to me. Shit, you don't tell me about people.
She never told me she was a virgin before.
Can y'all hear it now?
Before I got with her?
Right.
So that's why that shit's so stupidity to me. But, hey.
Makes sense to me, man.
Can y'all hear it now?
One thing I get from you and Gene Dill, regardless of y'all differences, y'all still have, it seems like y'all still have a mutual respect for one another. What is what is y'all gripe against one another, man? Because y'all still got good, some kind of good respect for one another. So,
go ahead. Well, number one, I'm not one to say everything Gene is saying is a lie. I just said his story is limited to what happened that particular night. And I disagree on people that he adamantly accusing of being involved in the murder. I'm not saying that things didn't happen the way he said it. I just don't believe he has the correct players. Is all I believe. And I say, me and Gene have spent hours on the phone communicating and talking to each other about things. We were planning on doing a project together where we were going to interview and do documentaries on all big time or bodyguards. We were going to do a documentary on his and my story, the bad boy story and the death row story from bodyguard point of view. Gene, when you're not used to dealing on the business side, and that's probably the where you always start, the glory and the glamorous and the money that was being generated like this, I think he didn't understand that. I bet he know now from, after being around for so long and promoting his book. But when we first met, he didn't understand that, hey, sometimes you got to give a little bit. We had a director, a producer by the name of Anthony Murch, who's Chris Robertson, like producer or right hand. And Chris Robertson, who had, he did a lot of music videos back in the day. He did some show recently that I just watched. But he's a good director. I ain't saying he's, a major. He did a lot of shows on the Star and Empire and like that he directed. So he was a good director for a documentary that we were going to do. And I was just disappointed because he was playing a little bit too hardball and demanding a little bit too much money for what we were trying to achieve or get done. And that's all. Yeah.
Now, since you said, he said...
And then he made a statement that... where he tried to put out there that, and I might have said it, I don't think I said it to who he said or how he said it. I didn't think he overheard me say it. Where he tried to insulate that I said, F Biggie, that should have happened to him. Where I could see myself saying something like that, but not like that. You know what I'm saying?
You did not like Biggie, correct?
No, I don't have a problem with Biggie. I don't like... I'm loyal to Tupac and that side of the thing. I have always said I didn't know anything about Biggie other than his music until I heard his mother speak.
I'm gonna leave it right there because we definitely could go. We talked about Keefe B. We talked about DJ Quick, MC8, Warren G, Snoop, Big, Pac, Shug, Gene Dill, all that. So it's definitely good. It's definitely gonna be a good one. Believe me when I tell you, the interview is dope. I'm gonna put up a clip. I just went live. I wasn't able to really edit, but I'm gonna leave it right there. I'm definitely gonna leave it right there. So, but I'm gonna put up a clip. Make sure y'all go to my Instagram. Make sure y'all go to my Patreon to make sure y'all can see the whole video in full. All right. Make sure y'all do that. All right. I'm going to put the link in my, the link is already in the description box, but I'm going to put it under the video that I'm going to put up, man. Let me see. Where we at? Okay. All right. Right here. All right. But let me say this. He said hip hop is boring, right? Stop being boring. Let me ask y'all a question right now. Who is running hip-hop right now? Is it the North or is it the South? Okay. It is the South. Can the South be held responsible for this? For the same old, same old? I don't want to put it all on them, but at least back in the mid-2000s and before, it was some balance to our music. Nobody biting and sounding like somebody else. This day and time in music, everybody is sounding just like one another. Right? Some don't even sound even, some of this shit sounds stupid as fuck. Some of this shit sound, it literally lowers our IQ. For real. So at the end of the day, who is responsible for how it's being right now? So the South is running it, been running it for quite some time now. Right? So fucking up hip hop right now. So they can't be to blame. Let's talk about it. Somebody's fucking up the truth over here. Wait, hold on. Let me see what Rio Rodriguez sound like Future in the South gonna act like he don't. I don't know, Shaw son. The South got three styles. That's the problem. They have no range. Oh, shit. Now, look. Was it the South or the West that harmed hip-hop? That's a good question. Well, if you want to talk about it, and I'm going to go with well, what's the name said? Professor Griff. When you had the EP, when you had the Public Enemy and things of that nature, right? KRS-One, Self Destruction, Miss Melody, you know, MC Light, Moni Love, Queen Latifah, So Off and So On. You had good rap. You had some great rap. You know what I mean? Even, Big Daddy, Pause, Ra, Cool G, the rest of them. Dope rap. And a lot of them niggas was gangster. They ain't have to really put their shit in it. Everybody knew Rakim was gangster. Nigga, Big Daddy Kane was gangster, nigga. My brother, rest in peace, Bug. He had a fight with Big Daddy Kane's father when we living on Clifton Place. Anyway, when N.W.A. came in, that changed the trajectory of the content. Literally. But I understand N.W.A. and their albums was dope. Salute to Ice Cube. But they was only doing the same thing we was doing over here. Speaking from our experience in our hood. You understand what I'm saying? But it sparked something in the execs. Mr. Hella and the rest of them. They knew the influence and the power of that kind of music. Yeah, I don't really listen to drill, God's Jewels. I don't really listen to that. You know what I'm saying? It's all right. You know what I mean? I like some of the beats, but I don't really listen to it. I don't check for it. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, people is not understanding what's at stake. And I really think that they are trying to. It's really targeting Black Americans, man. Really is. A lot of Latins, we just have to keep it. Listen, man, I don't try to promote this, but I'm just looking at reality. They push like the Africans and other Caribbean people, Latin people. They don't really identify with Black culture, but they use it and implement it in their life. Not like the parents and shit like that, but the younger generation. in the younger generation that was before us and things in that nature. They don't identify with us. So by they just only looking for this particular type of music. And check it out. You don't think the African music and the Latin music is not looking for clicks and likes and comments under their Instagram or under their YouTube? You can't escape the algorithm. Not in this day and age. You can't escape the streaming. You can't escape that. So these are the things, especially the record labels. You can go to a record label right now and be like, you're a rapper. They're going to be like, what are your following looking like? How many followers you got on Instagram and TikTok and Twitter? What's your following? They looking at that. Not true what, a reality chica? What do you mean? Not true what? This is why I have the number on the screen. It's 319-527-6747. That's why the number is there. So if you want to call in, call in. But I don't know. Some of y'all scared to call in, but I ain't tripping. But at the end of the day, that's what the fuck it is. What the fuck? Why are you... Hold on, man. All right, what's that? All right, I'm going to leave that shit right there. Anyway, so listen, man. Look, I'm not even going to stay here too long. I'm just going to leave it like this, man. I'll do my sidebars, but I just want to say this. It's y'all who let Busta say we ain't got no culture. It's y'all letting motherfuckers say Kool Herc created hip-hop. I know who you are, Mr. Black. You've been on here for a while. But you know me. You already know me. You know I don't play that shit when it comes down to our culture. So Black American culture founded and created hip hop. And you have a point. You have a point. It's not us. It's the people that's in the industry letting Busta Rhymes get away with it. Now, Busta Rhymes, he deserves his flowers. For sure. He deserves his flowers. But Busta Rhymes is not one of us. I get you, Mr. Black. Salute. Like I said, you've been rocking with me for a while. You've been rocking with me for quite some time. So I get it. Trust me. I got you. But it's just that we have not put these people in a place. Well, I have. I wish I could see him personally. I would tell him. I would literally tell him, like, nigga, bro, you're fucking lying. Do I have to go through the evidence right now? Do y'all want me to go through the evidence right now? Press one. If you want me to go through some of, I'm not going to go through it all. If y'all want me to go through the evidence right now, press one. Because this is hip hop. Tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, tomorrow, me and my boy, Floss Angeles, we're going to talk about the 50 years of hip hop, and hopefully we'll have some guest rappers to tune in. All right, so if you press a one, then this is what you do for me to do that. Y'all make sure y'all donate to the platform. How about that? Show some love to the platform, man. This shit is right there in your comment section. If y'all can't do that, I can't do it, y'all. I can't do it. If y'all feel some type of way, just drop out. It's fine. I don't care. But appreciate the platform and the time. It takes time to do this shit. If you sitting in a cubicle all day working and you sitting on your ass and you're working, you don't think that's quality time and working and doing your due diligence? I just hope y'all appreciate the same thing. If not, I'm not doing shit. So somebody hit that Cash App. Somebody show some love to the platform, and I will go through that. Because if anything, then I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not doing it anymore. Sorry. Show some love to the platform. All right? This is just how it is. You said the West started that disrespect of women, too. disrespecting women music too. That's true. They pretty much came out with that shit. I mean, it wasn't like bitches wasn't getting disrespected, but they put it all in their music. And to be honest, that Snoop Dogg album really put that shit out there. You did, Mr. Black? All right, I'm going to check it out right now. Okay, I did get some donations. All right, salute. Let me shout y'all out then. And again, y'all don't be afraid to show some more love to the fucking platform. Shout out to my boy Brooklyn the motherfucking Cali. Salute to you, King. You already know you my brother for real. Alvin, Ashan, thank you. Beverly, thank y'all for showing some love, man. Appreciate y'all. And don't forget to show some love the ones who didn't. Why the fuck not, man? That's the shit I be trying to do. Why not? Okay? Why not? Okay? Let me put the number in, too, because I want some of y'all to call in. I'm about to pull shit up for y'all. This is for the ones who donated. If everybody else, thank you, but kiss my ass, man. Fuck that. Y'all kiss my ass, man. Let me put my link in there. Fuck that. Look, the numbers dropped, too. It's all good, baby. I love you anyhow. Hold on. Let me put my link in there one more again. And then, this shit moving real slow right now. Yo, but I'm telling y'all, that interview I just did with Reggie Wright, y'all going to love it. Y'all going to love it for real. Hold on. God damn. My shit is moving slow right now. So please pardon me. Just hold your horses. Hold your horses. All right. Hold on. Let me get that. All right. Let me get that. All right. Let me put that right there. Yeah, that link is right there, baby. Don't be afraid. All right. Show some love. Jamaican. Ah, shit. How I put it? Jamaican. I think this is it. Hold on. Hola, soldiers. Hold on. This is it? No. Hold on. Y'all gonna have to wait. Just wait. Let me go to the right one. Fuck that. Let me go to the right one. Hold on. I'm on the side right now. I really forgot. I think it's culture something. It should come up. I'm looking for it right now in my subscription. So just hold on because I want the right one. That's why. Give me a second, everybody. It's culture something. Hold on. God damn it. Hold on. Where you at, baby? Hold on. Shit. It's called culture. Oh, man. Hold on. Wait a minute. You know what? Mike, let me put in Michael Wayne. It'll come up. And I subscribe to the channel. I don't know. I don't see it. I don't know if they deleted that person's channel. Michael Wayne TV Hip Hop. Hold on. I got y'all. Trust me. I'm going to come with it. Give me a minute. The culture since 71. There we go. Hold on, goddamn. I got you. Y'all know I got you, baby. And they was trying to say that Disco Mario was half Latino too. And should I play that first? Press one. I'll show y'all. But let me scroll down. Where is that other video, baby? Debunk the Fat Joe 50%. Da 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 da. Hold on, baby. Hold on, motherfuckers. Is this? Come on, let's get it, man. I'm sorry, I gotta do it again. It's only seven minutes. I'm gonna do it. 7 minutes. Thank you, Mr. Black. So you already know. God damn it. This is what I'm talking about. Niggas that know. Yeah, let me do that for the ones who show some love. This is for y'all, man. All right, let's go.
listen to a Dionne Warwick song and try to sing it exactly as Dionne did it. If you are a group,
let me bring it back.
Try to study the Supremes.
Let me say this. This is, it's not even a disclaimer. It's not even a disclaimer. Let me just say this. I love my Jamaican people. Do you hear me? My daughter is half Jamaican. Well, she act like she's, I'm not going to lie. Her mother and sister, they definitely look like some yard women. But they definitely Americanized because you don't hear them. But they got the look, and I know the look. All right? My baby girl out there in motherfucking Delaware, she is pure yard, yard. And I know she's listening right now. Pure. Pure yard. Like, awesome G shit. Pure yard. I spoke to her grandmother. Yeah, when you and my cat gonna get wet, you know, all that shit. My cat and all that, like, pure yard yard. I'm not lying. The whole family, they not half and half. They pure yard. Pure. And I can't mean to put my dick in her again, but it's going to be some time from now. But at the end of the day, pure yard yard. All right? So I'm not coming from a hateful place. I'm coming from a real place. Y'all did not create hip-hop. Did not create hip-hop. And let me give you the difference between my black American women. Let me tell y'all this shit right now. And some of y'all dropped out again. It's all right. Listen, long some of y'all still here. Let me give y'all something right now. I love my black American women. Some women from different cultures treat their men different. And I'm not saying black Americans don't treat their men different. And I mean, when I mean different, that means from the norm, meaning all the bullshit. I mean, there's bullshit. It's not like women don't come with their bullshit. But I'm just saying, even after whatever, an argument or something, put you in the tub, scrub your feet, rub your back. I mean, literally after disagreement. All of that shit. What you want? Food? What you want? I seen a shirt for you. 2X. All that. It's different, but I'm not saying all black women. I love my regular black women, and I'm going to continue to put my dick in you. Where you at tonight? All right, just playing. I mean, man, look, kiss my ass right now. And let me shut up, because I don't want no fucking trouble. But let's continue while I scratch my ass. But just listen, they did not create hip-hop. That's all I had to say. I said all that to say that shit.
We would listen to a Dionne Warwick song and try to sing it exactly as Dionne did it. If you are a group, you would try to study the Supremes, Martyrs and the Vandellas. If there was a group who comes from abroad to our shores, we would want to go and see them because they have something to teach us.
It all came from the American.
Again, because I've seen some of this shit already. It's only 7 minutes. They had to watch the Dionne Warwick and them coming in the Supremes because they had something to teach us. Just don't forget what they said.
R&B music, you know, because we're always being influenced by the impressions, all them soul R&B girls.
We start imitating the rhythm and blues songs like the Smiley Lewis or Professor Longhair, Louis Jordan, you know, those kind of beats. We try to imitate it.
When we was playing the boogie woogie and the shuffle and things like that, we realized that we were definitely swatting or copying the American stuff. We did some rhythm and blues, try to copy the rhythm and blues in that driving beat.
It was all about rhythm and blues.
As the 1950s rolled on, the music of Fats Domino, Ray Charles, and Lou Jordan was streaming into the island from southern American radio stations just over 90 miles away.
And with the sound systems blasting out most nights of the week, downtown Kingston went dance crazy. Sound systems became the biggest local industry in downtown Kingston, and competition was fierce. To pull in the punters, you had to have the best music blasting out of your system. The race was on for the hottest American tune.
The race was for the hot American tune, our music.
You know, American people, they need cheap labor, so they bring it, cut them cane and things. But why are they cutting cane? If you buy rhythm and blues, 6 times more money you get, because you're going to sell it back to sound system people. So everybody anxious to go to the farmer, but not to cut cane. They want to go buy some record, you know?
Out of this fierce competition, two giants emerged, Clement Coxendodd and Arthur Duke Reed. Combining their little businesses with their sound system dances, they were effectively the barons of downtown Kingston and would continue to control the Jamaican music business for the next 15 years.
The reggae artist was rapping on that music back in the 70s and late 60s.
Console sound system or the sound system to create this jockeys that would use the microphone in making records. All the other DJs before our time, they would only just put on the records and either dance with a girl or drink a beer. But it wasn't anything exciting.
Well, I'm Clement Dodd, better known as Sir Cox and Downbeat, master of the Royal Society of Jazz. And King of Sound System.
And when you were growing up, that was their music in the house?
Well, yes. We had a Martha Richards radio, and we used to listen to the foreign station a lot, like Voice of America, listening to people like Bill Eckstein, and Cyril Vaughan, Lionel Lambton, Louis Jordan.
But do y'all hear that? At the end of the day, I'm not going to play all this. We're going to go to something different, too. But only thing I'm saying is, at the end of the day, a lot of y'all seen this shit already. Press one if somebody in here have not seen this already. Press one. I'm going to play it for the ones who didn't see it. But we're going to go to some more, then I'm going to get out of here. Press one if you didn't see this before. Only for the ones that didn't see it before. The majority rules. Please press one if you haven't seen this before. Please hurry up. Because we all got ADHD, D, 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 T, T, D, 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 D. Okay? So please. Okay? All right. We got twos. So we y'all all seen it. All right. So I'm speaking to the choir. All right. Let's go back. I'm going to go to Busta Rhymes too, but let's go back. Let's go ahead. Shout out to, this is where everybody need to go to, the culture since 71. Trust me when I tell you, go to this shit. You're going to get everything you need to know. Everything. Let's pick something. Let's pick something. Hold on. The 50-50 as far as the, let's see. Coke LaRock, that's Coke LaRock that put African, I'm not about to say African, but about Kool Herc on. He was under his wing, Coke LaRock's wing, put him on How to Dress and all that and everything. He was the first, like pretty much the first rapper, real talk, Coke LaRock, DJ Hollywood as well. Let's see. We're going to scroll through some. I want to make one short, though. I don't want to put too much. I don't want it to be too much. Let's see. Hold on. That shit what Busta Rhymes did, that shit is so fucked up, man. I still got love for him because I'm still a fan. It's the young Mike that still give Busta Rhymes love, and he actually deserved it. He deserved the love, but him lying and all that crazy shit, nah, man, I can't fuck with that at all. the black space. Let's do this. Let's go back right here.
The backup can I turn on Memphis Bleak, Mike, and Beanie Siegel, Mike, for me, please?
Then from the tunnel over 161st Street, he used to go to school with me after this man's name was John Brown. This is where, you know, Just Begun.
Jimmy Castor.
Right. And he used to play, this one, if you want to get into something, and a few other ones. And that was at the tunnel.
Right.
161st Street.
The original tunnel. Right.
DJ Cool Herc wasn't actually his real name. His real name was Clive Campbell, and he was born in Kingston, which is the capital of an island in the Caribbean called Jamaica, in 1955. He and his family moved to the Bronx, which is in New York, when he was 13 years old.
I've started to go to parties when I'm 16 years old.
We started this hip-hop back.
16 years old. He moved there when he was 13 years old. He was being influenced by Disco DJ Mario, DJ Cool D. You understand? All of that. And he met Coke LaRock. And that's how he got started, or being influenced by the American music, period. So he did not create hip-hop. Hip-hop was already there.
In 1971,
I don't think the music was a reflection of the time as much as the music also caused the times.
Brother, there's far too many of you that
71, everybody wanted to be. I mean, that's when everybody came to Bronxdale and shit and said, yo, I want to join. And before we knew it, I mean, people would come from all over.
1971 was a year of revolution and consciousness.
You know, because when we be dancing with each other and shit, you know, we be boys, shit, you know, doing our shit, you know. Especially with James Brown and shit.
James Brown.
You know, we did James Brown and shit. We can tear James Brown up.
The Space Jazz, we used to do it to James Brown, Soul Power.
For those who don't know, that's Keith of DJ Cool D. That's him right there. That's the one that Cool Herc got his system from. He is the first one with the mixer. So it wasn't Grandmaster Flash. It was him right here that had the first mixer. Crossfader.
Soul Power.
But that whole album, Revolution of the Mind, that whole album, all you have to do is turn on the other side and shit and do the whole thing.
Instead of saying Soul Power, we say Spade Power. Spade Power. And then we sound about the Spade Power. You know what I mean?
What were the records that you thought had the best breaks when you were doing parties in the 70s?
James Brown, Give It Up, Turn It Loose. A lot of James Brown record. Get involved.
American hip hop would not be possible without the culture that existed in gang culture.
Wait a minute. So you saying that Tariq got DJ Cool D in his new documentary? If he do, that is so fucking dope. And I'm glad that he do. All right. So at the end of the day, this gonna blow everybody out the fucking water. If y'all remember the conversation that Big Daddy Kane had, he was on a live with a couple of people, and this was about the contributions to hip-hop, and he said that they contributed to hip-hop, not create. But let's continue. It's mad short.
specifically the black space.
Right.
So
okay.
They laid that groundwork, that energy. You know what I mean? That energy.
Fame power.
Okay, so do you remember the music at all?
Man, of course. I remember all the music. I remember all the music. National Anthem was Apache.
Man, you ever heard this song?
Come on. You ever hear this song?
Yeah,
this guy.
I'm trying to find something.
What, come on?
You heard that?
You crazy dancers off this shit. Crazy dancers.
We're
based
out of happiness. We do everything for life celebration.
More celebration.
We say in hip hop, our theme song was Apache.
Okay.
That was the major B-boy type of an anthem.
Crazy dancers dance around, spin around.
Here it is right here. Here it is right here. I ain't gonna be here too long, but this is it what Big Daddy Kane said, right? Let's play this real quick. Let's play this. This is the same girl I interviewed. This is the Puerto Ricans. We got Tony Touch, Crazy Legs. This girl. This is the dude. One of the Puerto Rican rappers, if I'm not mistaken, or B-boy. This dude and Grandmaster Caz. But this is what Big Daddy Kane had to say.
Down to that, no idea is original. Everybody got something from somewhere, right? So when they start referencing, well, we were dancing, you know, few people came at me on the gram talking about the dancing that took place in the 40s and 50s, you know?
I saw that, uh-huh.
And they were taking it to the floor and stuff.
Yeah,
that's just my point. No idea is original. You know what I mean? They weren't dancing to hip hop, but they were dancing on the floor. So,
yeah, but they were Black American people.
Like everything.
You're erasing hip hop history. Huh? That right there, what you just said, Touch. That's when you're erasing hip hop history.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I got into hip hop in 1977 when I heard Master D from Brooklyn play it at a block party. And then from that point on, learning about the Furious Five, learning about Cold Crush, Caz was my biggest inspiration. I ripped my whole first rap book up because I wanted to sound like him, you know. And to this very day, I'm sitting, like just a half an hour ago when you was on the phone with me, I still pan out. Like, yo, I'm on the phone with Crazy Legs. I cannot, you know, and I remember taking my little...
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I still fan out. You know, so I understand the importance of hip-hop, but I also understand the importance and the contributions that, you know, Puerto Ricans and Hispanics have made to this culture and the great things they did. And then the documentation by Joe Ponce, yep, you don't want to see your chest. The documentation by Joe Ponce, man, come on, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the history book right there that you created, Joe. So, as far as I'm concerned, I got nothing but love for all the Hispanics that's involved in hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? And I realize and recognize your contributions. Much love to all the Hispanic people that's involved in hip-hop. Now, if y'all excuse me, I'm going to eat some Japanese sushi.
What? That's
what he said.
Now, there you have it. Contribution. Contribution. He didn't say create. Contribution, okay? So at the end of the day, that's just what the fuck it is, man. Let me see something, man, because I'm getting out of here now, man. But at the end of the day, we know exactly who created hip-hop, man. Plain and simple. Let me see if I have anything else to play. All right, let me share my screen, man. Let me share my screen. But as long as y'all know, I was going to play the Busta Rhymes when he talked about, Black America, well, Americans don't have culture. I'm not playing that. Fuck that. Fuck Busta Rhymes at the moment. I don't know what the fuck is up with the Latin music community. Sitting on a nigga's shoulders, gyrating on a nigga neck. Look at this shit. Okay, this nigga getting his motherfucking neck thrusted and a head massage. That is fucking crazy. But anywho, let's continue. Those are bars right there. Yeah, that's some other shit right there. Anywho, mother discovers a woman's body wrapped in plastic in her son's room. Yeah, that's crazy too. Let me see. What else? Yeah, this girl right here, crazy.
She got a fucking gun, yo. You chill, son? Yo, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy right there. Yeah, she was in Long Island. Yeah, you know she kind of special in the head and shit. So that's crazy. Former President Barack Obama's brother calls him a snake on Twitter. He said fake ass snake President Barack Obama. So that's his brother from Nigeria. Okay. Hey, listen, man. I'm gonna leave that one right there. I ain't gonna go crazy on that. Bomb, bomb, bomb. Oh, yeah, nigga stole the sign. That's dope that they got, you know, Bone Thugs and Harmony on, you know, they got a street sign after them, but somebody stole it the same night. So that's kind of crazy. This, I already spoke about that. Let me see, what else, man? I spoke about that, too. Fuck that dude. And I'm hearing some more stuff about the nephew, Krishan shit. You know, the nephew talking about, you know, being, you know, molested by their aunt and cousins and all that shit, being forced to have sex for him to do chores and shit like that. More stuff is coming out. So I got some stuff in the stash on it, but I'm going to wait till I get more and then I'll come out with it. But besides that, that's okay. Look at Ms. Marla Gibbs right there. Look good. Yeah, I would have put her. Yeah, I would have tore her ass up on this shit. That's crazy right here too. Memphis, y'all tripping right now. All right, this shit moving slow. Yeah, that straight nigga shit right there. Let me see. That's it, man. That's it. Listen, look out for the videos that I'm gonna put up on Red Right, and make sure y'all go to my Patreon because I'm gonna put it on my Patreon. All right, so make sure y'all go show some love to my Patreon. All right. Thank y'all for tuning in to the platform. Oh, I thought I was sharing it, but I wasn't. But, well, fuck it. I'm out of here anyway. Y'all be easy. Peace. Damn, I really thought I was fucking sharing.